We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pat. And we're going to talk about the NBA Finals ahead of a series really no one saw coming, the Phoenix Suns versus the Milwaukee Bucks. The big question in this series is the health of Giannis Antetokounmpo, Jason. I think that coming into the series, you can say that Giannis' health is the definitive swing factor. If Giannis does not play at all in this series, I view Phoenix as the stronger team, and I don't think the Bucks have quite enough firepower to defeat the Suns without Giannis on the floor. But Giannis could return at some point in the series. To me, it wouldn't be a surprise if they sat him out, you know, the first game or two and then reevaluated his health. Also, though, as we've seen sort of earlier in the playoffs with Chris Paul, I don't really know if Giannis can return in like game manager mode. His game is so built on physicality and explosion on both ends of the floor that it's hard to imagine like what a compromised version of Giannis looks like and how impactful that type of player can be. So it's really hard sort of prognosticating out this series. But, you know, as we start game one, just given the injury to Giannis.
Yeah, absolutely. And have you seen any update on Giannis? I feel like it's just like it's almost like the Kawhi thing where they're just like playing it super close. I feel like I think Chris Sheridan had some like Greek journalist on claiming he wouldn't play till game three. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he missed the start of the series in Phoenix. I mean, that injury looks so bad. I mean, I guess it wouldn't even surprise me if he didn't play at all. I mean, he did look okay like on the bench. Like celebrating and flexing and all that kind of stuff when the Bucks were closing out the Hawks over the weekend. But it still just seems like if he does come back that he probably will not be 100%. So I think your point about that is definitely, I think, a good one. Like, because he is just so like his just in the paint, dominating with his athleticism and physicality. And like, if he can't do that, definitely a huge advantage for the Suns, who have been awesome just in general. And I think I saw the opening odds I saw had the Suns as a slight favorite, which I think makes perfect sense with the Giannis injury. I would even lean toward, even if Giannis was totally healthy, I think I said this last time, that I think I would lean towards the Suns anyways because I still can't trust the Bucks. Although I was very impressed by how well the Bucks played the last couple games of the series without Giannis. That game five, they came out and just punched the Hawks in the mouth. The Hawks did come back, but they answered all those calls. We saw Brook Lopez throw it back to like his old days, like in the last decade when he was with the Nets with 33 points dominating inside. Chris Middleton had a few huge games. Drew Holiday finally stopped looking like Eric Bledsoe. So it was nice to see those other Bucks guys really step up and not just totally fold without Giannis there. Still can't totally trust them, but obviously we do hope Giannis is back because I think this is a really fun series. I know some people are like, whatever, like all the injuries, like the Suns have gotten lucky, the Bucks got lucky, the Nets got hurt, but like, fully healthy, like this is an awesome series to me. The Bucks have a super talented team. The Suns are a great story. Giannis's first finals, CP3's first finals, Devin Booker making this run in his first finals. We got some former Bulls here. We got Bobby Portis versus Cameron Payne. Bobby Portis had a huge. He's like a Milwaukee hero now. He had that huge Game Five He had the book, had Pfizer for him chanting Bobby over and over. So that was kind of fun to see for a former Bull. So I'm really looking forward to this finals. I hope that Giannis does play. Even if he doesn't, it should be a really good series anyways. But hopefully he's able to come back sooner rather than later. At least comes back at all.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth with the former Bulls. So we got Bobby Portis on the Bucks, and then there's Campaign Etuan Moore on the Suns. Am I forgetting about anyone else?
I think that's it. Those are the main guys. I mean, Etuan barely plays, but obviously Campaign, backup point guard. Bobby starting for Giannis with him out, and I would assume that will remain the case. Like I said, we're not totally sure what Giannis' status is, but yeah, I mean, and both guys have had their moments.
Yeah, totally. I think Portis was a healthy scratch for some of the games against Brooklyn. He only played in four games against Brooklyn. So to see him sort of emerge as this key piece they need for them has been huge. And yeah, like you said, 36 minutes in game five, 32 minutes in game six. Portis is really like a swing factor for them. If Giannis doesn't play or if Giannis's health is, you know, noticeably compromised, he's just still a gunner, you know. Yeah. 20 from the floor in game five. Portis has, you know, just an aggressive offensive mindset. He's a shoot first power forward in every sense. And I also love the like all the motivational tactics that Bobby Portis uses to amp himself up, setting hard screens. There was the meme of his eyes being super wide open, big smile on his face when he had that wide open dunk. And then he tweeted his power forward, like the guys who influenced him as a power forward. It was like,
oh, yeah, I saw that.
Speed Wallace, a couple other guys. So
I think it was at KG, and then I think Zach Randolph was the other one.
Zach Randolph, yeah. So really fun to see Portis sort of come into his own a little bit. I believe he's on a minimum contract, isn't he, Jason?
He's $3.6 million. I think he got like the room exception or like the biannual, something like he got a cheap deal.
Sure. He got a very cheap deal. You'll remember the Bulls offered Portis, I believe, at least a $50 million contract, right? The Portis.
It was like 40 to 50, and I think he wanted a bit more. And he got, I mean, he got like 2 years, $30 million from the Knicks, but they declined that like team option on the second year, and they ended up going to the Bucks.
Right. So he basically got a 1 year, $15 million deal out of the Knicks, and then he signs like a 1 year, $3 million deal. With the Bucks, it'll be interesting to see what Portis's market looks like in free agency this year. You would think he's probably earned himself a little bit of money. I believe there's only like seven teams coming into this offseason with significant salary cap space. So, you know, what will Bobby Portis's contract look like after this final series? And you can say the same thing about Campaign. I think Campaign's a free agent as well.
Yep.
And Payne has just been awesome. He's established himself as one of the best backup point guards in the league. The Bucks might realistically have to adjust their defensive coverage to keep Campaign and Chris Paul and Devin Booker in check from mid-range. Payne gives them a third guard who can sort of, you know, snake dribble off the pick and roll, hit a pull-up mid-range shot. And he's just been one of the best stories in the league. There's no doubt. I mean, out of the league after the Bulls cut him, played a couple games in China, grinded his way back into his spot in the G League. The Suns signed him right before the bubble. And this year, he's been a really solid player the entire season. He's really sort of come into his own in the playoffs this year. So it'll be really fun rooting for Campaign as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at Campaign's numbers this season, like they were really good. Like his efficiency just, and it's just crazy. And we've talked about this before when he was going off in those last couple series, just like, just how bad he was with the Bulls. And like, we made fun of him all the time. And like, there's that report that was out there that was like, the Bulls saw him in practice and like, after like 2 days, and like, this guy can't play in the NBA. So like, go from that. I mean, you go back and look at his numbers with the Bulls. Like, he had one okay stretch where he shot decent from three. Was that 2017, 2018, 38.5% from three. But like, right after the trade, he was really bad. And then like, after that, the next year, he was also really bad. And in general, besides the okay 3-point shooting, it was just brutal to watch him. And then he went around, bounced around a bit, like China, G League, all that, the Cavs. And then he was really good in the bubble last year. And he's just really good. I mean, the dude's been shooting 44% from three this season, almost 48.4% shooting field goals. So, like, super efficient player. You mentioned he could get to the rim, some really sneaky finishes. Just, like, really, he's just really kind of crafty, like, way craftier than, like, he never showed that kind of stuff with the Bulls. And this year, like, the playoffs, his numbers have come down a bit. I feel like he's come back down to earth in the Clippers series a bit. But still, 10 points a game, 4 assists, 36.4% 3-point shooting. Like, it's been crazy to see Campaign just make this jump to being one of the better backup point guards in the league when I would always make fun of him as, like, this guy looks like the worst player in the NBA. I remember getting into a big argument with our guy Darnell Mayberry at The Athletic because he's been riding for campaigns since those Thunder days. And we got in this big argument about him, and he stuck with him. He's always said that he's better than he's showing right now, and that just, like, injuries have played a role, and just, like, the Bulls in general were kind of a mess. And Darnell Mayberry was right. So shout out to him for sticking behind campaign, and he's been really good. So definitely one of the better stories of the playoffs has been campaign's resurgence, just from basically the scrap heap, NBA scrap heap, to a great backup point guard on an NBA Finals team.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Jason, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Giannis's injury status aside, since I think that's pretty clearly the biggest swing factor in this series, what one other factor do you think will determine this NBA Finals?
Maybe I'll say the Bucks' three-point shooting, because that's something I've at least followed through this entire playoffs. Bucks were, like, top maybe five in three-point shooting in the regular season. They were around, like, 39%. They're down at like 31% in these playoffs. And even despite that, they've been able to obviously make it to the finals. And they did get some luck with the Nets losing their stars and Trae Young got hurt. Obviously, the Bucks have also lost Giannis. So that's they were able to overcome that. But the fact that they have shot so poorly from three and they've still made it this far, I do think they'll have to start making a bit better percentage of three-point shots, especially if Giannis is out and they can't dominate the paint like they can with him there. I mentioned Brooke Lopez was able to dominate the paint. We've saw Bobby have a big game. Middleton is like a mid-range master, and Drew Holiday has been really good lately as well after he kind of struggled a bit. But I do think they need to hit a few more three-point shots. It's not like the Suns are like a great three-point shooting team. They're solid percentage-wise. They don't take as many, at least in the playoffs. They haven't. They're around like 37% in the regular season and in the playoffs so far. But they don't really take that many. Like Booker, like as good of a, like a player he is, he's like not a huge 3-point shooter. Like if you look at his numbers, they're way like worse than you would think. CP3 did have the big series against the big last game against the Clippers, obviously. But like, I mean, he doesn't shoot that many threes, and like they have some other decent shooters. But still, I think the Bucks, like Middleton's got to be better from three. I think Holiday's kind of hit or miss, but he was like good during the regular season. So that is something I'll at least be looking out for. If the Bucks can finally start hitting some threes, because we know the Suns are just like a versatile team. They can score from mid-range, they can score from three and all that kind of stuff, and their defense is really, really good. So especially with Giannis' status up in the air, and if they can't dominate the paint, which is a huge Bucks advantage, usually they'll have to hit some three-pointers.
Yeah, totally. I think that you can say that about most games and most series between NBA teams, especially in this era. Whoever hits the most three-point shots is likely to win. It sounds like simplistic analysis, but it's true. And the challenge of today's game is creating good looks from three, right? Like, you can only make your threes if you're able to create good looks and, you know, collapse the defense, get dribble penetration, swing the ball, find open catch and shoot guys or have players who are pull-up threats. And I think, you know, Middleton's going to be the obvious pull-up threat for the Bucks. Otherwise, they're going to try to create threes off ball movement mostly, but Milwaukee plays a lot of isolation basketball, a lot of one-on-one basketball. That's been a trend throughout the playoffs. The thing that I'm going to monitor is the Bucks' defense against pick and rolls, because the Suns' pick and roll is so dynamic. Zach Lowe of ESPN wrote a long feature on this a couple weeks ago. Obviously, Paul, Booker, and also Payne off the bench are really good creators out of the pick and roll. So this has been sort of something hanging over the Bucks' head in the last two playoff runs, is the drop coverage versus the switch. So the Bucks mostly play a base of drop coverage with Brook Lopez on the floor. But after Giannis got hurt,
it changed up.
They changed it up and went with more of a switch-heavy scheme in the last two games. They easily beat Atlanta in those last two games without Giannis. I read a stat on ESPN that Brook Lopez switched more screens across like the final three games of the series than he did in any three games all season. And, you know, for all of the concern about Mike Budenholzer's inability to adjust as the Bucks head coach, Budenholzer made a key adjustment in that series. It's sort of gone underplayed. And it's going to be fascinating to see how they try to defend the pick and roll against the Suns, because that is very much the Suns' bread and butter. They have two guards who are tailor-made for that style of basketball. And without Giannis, or, you know, with a compromised Giannis, are they going to, you know, rely on what got them here for the majority of the season, which is drop coverage? Or, you know, much like the last couple games against the Hawks, will they move to a switching scheme? During the regular season, the Bucks were credited for, like, sort of taking their foot off the gas a little bit, taking more of a long-term view of the regular season and preparing themselves for the playoffs by working on things like switching defensively instead of just trying to win every game they can during the regular season. Well, the Bucks, do they get the three seed? Right?
Yes.
So, I mean, they had the best record in the NBA each of the last 2 years. This year, they're the three seed. They took a more long-term view in the regular season. So this will be the ultimate test to see if that can pay off and if Budenholzer can keep adjusting. Obviously, talent still wins at the end of the day, and you need Giannis on the floor and healthy, and we have no idea if that's going to be possible. As you alluded to, there hasn't been much information on that yet, but I'm really interested to see how they're going to defend the pick and roll against the Suns, because the Suns are so good in those scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm assuming we'll see a mix of all of it. I mean, you used to have to be versatile. You have to be able to change things up on the fly and try different things. And obviously, that has been, as you mentioned, a huge criticism of Bud in recent years. And that's quieted down a bit after winning these games without Giannis and making those adjustments and doing it in the regular season. I know there was some of the criticism was coming out earlier in the playoffs. We gave it to him, but for this last series, you definitely have to give him some credit there for making the changes after Trae Young was roasting them. Obviously, Trae Young getting hurt did help a bit, for sure, since he wasn't there. In that last game, he definitely wasn't totally healthy, probably, and he played poorly. But still, he made the changes, and the Suns can beat you in so many ways. And their starting lineup is just so good. They play big, they play small. When you have those two guards there, that'll be really interesting to see how that does go. So I guess to wrap up this finals talk, just, you said you think the Suns have the advantage. We don't know if Giannis is going to play. Just right now, who would you pick, Red? Gun to your head.
Suns. Yeah, I'd probably take the Suns. I guess give me Suns in six.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that Giannis will be back at some point. Again, I would also assume that he will not be totally healthy when he does come back. But I still think the Bucks, they still obviously have some really good players. I think I've been riding with the Suns this entire time. So I think that I'm going to stick with them. I'll say Suns in seven. We have somebody requesting to speak, so this is actually a perfect time to go to that. Tim.
What's up?
What's up, man? What do you got to say about the finals?
Man, I think it's Devin Booker's time, man. And Chris Paul finally gonna get a ring. I think it's his time, man. I don't think the Bucks gonna get this one.
Booker's been off throughout this playoff run. Had the, what do you have, a 47-point game, I think, to close out the Lakers. He had the triple-double in game one of the Western Conference Finals when CP didn't play. So, yeah, man, Devin Booker is totally leveling up in these playoffs. And as Bulls fans, you know, we hope that Zach LaVine gets this type of stage and this type of platform to raise his profile in the playoffs the same way Booker's done, because Booker has been a straight up killer in the postseason.
So what was Giannis' injury? What's wrong with him?
He has a hyperextended left knee, and nobody knows when he's actually going to be back, basically.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he might not be 100% this series, so that gives us signs of upper hand, though.
Yeah, exactly. It just leaves so many question marks there, because even if he does come back, like, who knows how good he's going to be. And, like, the Suns do have some guys they can throw at him as well and make – life tough on him, whether it's like Jay Crowder, whether it's Mikal Bridges. Like, obviously Giannis is very hard to stop when he's got it going, but like Suns got some guys that can throw at him. Torrey Craig as well. Torrey Craig can use some of his Bucks knowledge, because he played for them for like a very short amount of time against them. So yeah, the Giannis thing, definitely. Like I said, even if Giannis was healthy, I think I still would lean to the Suns, just because I've leaned with them all this entire playoff or the last like couple rounds, and I would just want to stick to my guns. But I think with that Giannis questionable, CP3 does seem like a man on a mission here. Booker has been awesome. I know Booker has kind of slowed down a bit since he broke his nose, but I feel like he'll probably, once he gets used to that, I think he'll probably be all right in the finals. They had some time off here, but CP3 definitely does just seem like he's ready to win this. So I don't think I can.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they got a lot of momentum, man. I think it's their time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, would not surprise me at all. Tim, thank you so much for joining us here. Thank you for your comments. I'm going to move here to speaker.
One thing I want to say, Jason, before we wrap this up, is how about FIBA Satoransky, Thomas Satoransky, hitting the game winner against Canada in the Olympic qualifying tournament? He's leading the Czech Republic to the Olympics. The Czech Republic is in the USA's group. They're in Group A, along with France and Iran, in the top two qualifiers advance out of the group stage, and then the two best teams who finish third. So USA seems like they have a you know, France will be tough, as they always are, but you know, the US will obviously enter the tournament as the favorites to win gold. If they don't win gold, it's going to count as a massive upset. But they got to go through Thomas Satoransky first, because Satoransky in FIBA play is a killer. He just seems so much more aggressive than he is in the NBA. He really, you know, he's obviously the best player in the Czech Republic team. He comes out knowing he has to be the primary scorer, and he dropped 18 against Canada, hit the game winner. Canada's not in the Olympics because of it, and pretty remarkable.
That Canada team was like pretty loaded, right? Like RJ Barrett was. Did Wiggins play? I didn't follow like that closely, but that was like a pretty good Canada team.
Yeah, very good Canadian team. Barrett was on there. I'm not sure the full roster.
Like I know Dylan Brooks is Canadian. Like I said, I know like Tristan Thompson. I don't know who exactly played, but yeah, sad. He's always doing so well in those Euro tournaments. Like I wish he was more aggressive with the Bulls, but obviously totally different game. So understandable why it's so different there. But good for him, I guess. Raise that trade value. How about that?
Sure. You got any other Olympic hot takes? Because
we'll give a shout out to Luka, triple double, getting Slovenia to their first ever Olympic appearance. So good for him. You mentioned the USA France. Like, that'll be a fun opening matchup. Because France will have Gobert, Evan Fournier. I don't know if like Batum is still playing, but I mean, they have always had a really good team. So that should be a fun, at least opening matchup for Zach and Team USA. I'm trying to think what else was out there. I guess I will, I think last episode we were talking about like Patrick Williams and Summer League and Team USA select stuff. Patrick Williams will definitely be able to play Summer League. I think that's Team USA stuff is all like this month, because the Olympics are next month. So Summer League is in August. Team USA select stuff is in July. So I believe Patrick Williams will still be able to play Summer League. I have not seen if there's been like any confirmation, if they've even talked to him about that. I've been kind of just with the holiday weekend, was just kind of off the grid, wasn't following that closely. But I hope he does. We talked about this last pod. It would be great to see Patrick Williams kind of just kind of dominate Summer League and really just kind of let him loose and get that experience with the Team USA as well. So just be a busy summer for Patrick Williams, and a huge one, because obviously it's a whole other conversation, but we've talked about Patrick Williams a ton here and how important he is to the Bulls. So hopefully he'll be able to use this summer with Team USA, Summer League, and use that as a big jumping off point for his second season.
For sure. That's about all I got, Jason. I know that you got a busy week this week. You're going to, what, multiple Cubs games?
Yeah, too bad they suck now. 9 losses in a row, and they're totally out. But going to Cubs games is always fun. So
they just can't beat the Brewers, man. If they could beat the Brewers even a few times, it would be a totally different season for them.
Yeah, they're awful. At least the White Sox are in first. The White Sox played, what, the Twins again? I feel like every time I'm looking up, the White Sox are beating the Twins' ass. So, like, they're playing them again this week, so should be hopefully another fun ass win for the White Sox this week.
Yeah, the White Sox just can't beat the Tigers, though. They dropped two to the Tigers. They lose to the Tigers yesterday. White Sox still up 6 games in the division entering today, even with all of the injuries to key position players. I'm interested to see if they're going to make any aggressive moves ahead of the trade deadline. If it was me, trade them all. Zach Collins, Jake Berger, whatever you can do. This is your shot to...
They have a Zach Collins, too.
What's up?
They have a Zach Collins, too.
The backup catcher.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I know Zach Collins from the Blazers, who just got hurt again.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. All right, we got one more speaker request here. We'll get him on real quick before we wrap up. William, fire. Well, I thought I brought him up here. No, did he leave? Did he just leave? I don't know what just happened. Whatever. We lost him. Yeah. All right. I think we should probably wrap up here. That is good here for today. Yeah. So as always, thank you for the people who listened. Thank you to our, I believe it was Tim who came up and had some thoughts about the finals. The finals do start. They don't start yet. There's another day off. They start Tuesday night in Phoenix. And it'll be nice. There'll be a few days in between some of these games, so it's not just every other day. So that'll be really nice just to get some breaks in between those games. With the finals going on, with the finals coverage, please go check out the other Blue Wire pods. We have I believe Eurostep is the Bucks pod, and then I believe it's the timeline is the Suns pod. It's something like that. My mistake if I got these wrong, guys, but. Please go check out our great Bucks and Suns pods that are part of the Blue Wire Network, and go check out all the other great podcasts all across the Blue Wire Network. For us here at Cash Considerations, as always, this pod will be up later on our feed, wherever you listen to your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all those good places. For Twitter, I'm at @Bulls_J. Ricky is at @SBN_Ricky. If you have ideas, questions, feedback for us, please hit us up there on Twitter. So yeah, happy finals, everybody. We'll talk to you guys next time. Hope everybody had a good 4th of July, and talk to you guys next time. Take it easy.